This episode will just be a brief announcement that I'll be taking some time away from this podcast in order to focus on some other important things right now. I may be posting sporadically, but I'm not sure how often. But that's definitely not because of lack of content ideas. For example, here are some things that I would like to do down the road. I've been doing a bunch of research on Eugene Nida, so I'd like to cover some of his biography, some of his impact on Bible translation, also a whole episode or two on Martin Luther and his translation and get into the details behind that. And then I've got a whole bunch of things from 1 Kings and 2 Kings that I've recently been checking that I'd like to talk about. One that was really interesting was about cultic prostitutes and everything that I learned about that. I did about 2 days of research, a really deep dive, because it was a really thorny issue that I didn't expect that came up in 1 Kings. I'd like to do an episode on line division and punctuation. How do translators or big Bible versions decide where to do line divisions, and how do they decide on punctuation issues, where to put a comma, where to put a semicolon, etc. I'd like to also do a whole episode on foreignization. I think I've alluded to that before. And then I would love to do an episode that talks about the differences between SIL and the United Bible Societies. And this came up in a book that I read on Eugene Nida that was really interesting and I think would be helpful for a lot of people. I'd also love to do a whole series of episodes reading through the British and Foreign Bible Society's translation principles that was published, I think, back in the 1800s. And then I would just love to do a series on Bible translation in India, Bible translation in Indonesia, and then, of course, Bible translation in Spanish. So I'm not joking when I say that there is a lot of stuff in the pipeline. Now, I also wanted to mention a big project that'll be pulling me away for a season from this podcast, and that is the research involved in the launch of a YouTube channel called Selling Jesus that will also be complemented by a website, sellingjesus.org. And the purpose will be to help people understand the difference between selling ministry, which Scripture condemns, and supporting ministry, which Scripture commends. And increasingly, I've found that American Christians seem to be caught in a dark cloud of deception regarding the commercialization of Christianity. And this will come as no surprise to regular listeners. So in my conversations about this within the Bible translation world, I've found a shocking level of poor thinking in this area, even to the point that some people say that the Bible has nothing to teach us about money and ministry, and that it's wrong to look for biblical principles to guide us in this area. Others have gone so far as to say that every ministry can be monetized, such as selling prayers and baptism, and that it would be biblical and glorifying to God to charge people money before praying for them. Things like this have revealed to me the desperate need for more concerted efforts toward promoting reform and abolishing the commercialization of Christianity in our cultural moment. It's become increasingly clear that we are living in a time like the pre-Civil War United States in the South, where the vast majority of ministers of the gospel regularly defended slavery from the pulpit, and even great men like Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield were not without their blind spots in this area because of its ubiquity and its pervasiveness, right? It was their cultural moment, and if you read Uncle Tom's Cabin, which is actually one of the most beautiful books ever written and one of my all-time favorites, Harriet Beecher Stowe paints detailed portraits of a broad sampling of people who justify the slave trade in different ways, with very complex reasoning, in order to make themselves feel better about the status quo. Most of them are well-meaning, many of them are Christians, but they all have one serious blind spot in common, and that is that economic expediency triumphs over biblical principles. Let me say that again in a different way. Most people back then were influenced by the belief that economic expediency was more important than biblical principles, or they would do everything in their power to make the Bible bow to or cater to the economic priorities or forces of their day. So once again, they were doing everything in their power to make the Bible bow to or cater to the economic forces of their day, lest they be forced to live lives of less comfort and wealth. They simply couldn't give up the convenience and labor-saving comfort that the slavery system provided, which brought with it a higher standard of living for the slave owners. And we are in the exact same position today regarding the Jesus trade. We sell ministry because it's too convenient, too ubiquitous and pervasive, and promises a standard of living many can't give up. We do our best to find complex and clever ways to make the Bible bow to and support economic expediency, because in our heart of hearts, we believe that money is more powerful than God for getting things done and spreading the gospel. And one of the things I appreciate about Uncle Tom's Cabin is that it doesn't paint cartoon, two-dimensional portraits of people who were deceived by the culture around them into defending the slave trade. Instead, the author brilliantly depicts the real complexity that you find in real human beings who have mixed emotions, complex and varied resources of self-justification across different social classes, both men and women, and how deep and nuanced people can be who are often full of good intentions but also carry their own inventory of respectable sins, which is exactly what we find in people involved in the Jesus trade today, who monetize ministry in different ways with the best intentions, but who ultimately compromise the sincerity of ministry and go against biblical principles. Anyway, I hope to share some of this and much more in some mini documentaries and also with some humor. This is going to take a lot of research and preparation. And one interesting fact I'll share from my research so far is that before 1830, it was basically unthinkable that a Bible society would sell Bibles instead of giving them away. When the Bible societies in the U.S., primarily the American Bible Society, changed their tune on this, many people were shocked. And Mark Knoll, in his excellent and thoroughly documented historical survey, God and Mammon, shows how the Bible societies and others, like the tract societies, were slowly seduced by the lure of economic expediency into becoming primarily Bible sellers. The slogan upon which they were founded was from Revelation 22:17, "Let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires take the water of life without price." Yet, they made a series of compromises based on expediency, not on biblical principles, and then found themselves being driven by market forces far beyond their control, which caused further compromises. And now fast forward to this present day and age, wherein we find it impossible to imagine anything else than a vast evangelical industrial complex with shiny products of all kinds ready to meet our consumerist mentalities and impulses. But before 1830, such a world would have been inconceivable and anathema to most people. Anyway, other things that I need to work on while I'm taking a break from this podcast include the following. I need to finish this long series in Spanish on textual criticism of the Old Testament. I need to redo that entire series in English in order to serve more people in the Bible translation movement who don't speak Spanish. And I continue to work a lot helping my wife with the Aleph with Beth channel, of course, which includes always learning more about cinematography, editing, AI tools, doing voiceovers, leading volunteers, and of course, Hebrew itself. And I also have a beautiful daughter who is now 1 year and 2 months. And of course, she takes a huge amount of my time. And I continue to check the Old Testament for the Chetino people, and I'm almost finished with 2 Kings, and I'll soon need to check Chronicles. I also need time to continue to put more Hebrew Psalms to music, and I just finished a recording of Psalm 96, word for word, and I'll play it at the end of this episode if you're interested. I also need to revise and expand my book on the divine name. Over the past year, I've uncovered more in my research that needs to be included and that significantly bolsters my position. Also, I'm nearing the final stages of publishing a book called Praying the Bible Together, which I need time to see to the end well. And of course, I hope it's a given to my listeners that this book will be published as public domain. At the same time, I'm coordinating volunteers from around the world to interlinearize the Hebrew Bible into languages that have no access to a reader's Hebrew Bible so that the data can be used in the BART Bible app and serve those who are learning with Aleph with Beth. We've now completed the data for Spanish and Arabic, and French and Portuguese are on their way. Now, there are lots of other irons in the fire, but I'll stop there for now and ask you to pray for me as I finish some of these projects. Thank you for listening, and I hope to be back before too long. Enjoy Psalm 96 on your way out. Shiru le'Yahweh shir hadash. Shiru le'Yahweh kol ha'aretz. Shiru le'Yahweh barachu shmo basru miyom leyom Yeshua to.
באמונתו, באמונתו, באמונתו.